We've also the subject putting stress into one's davening. I'd like to try and explain what I want to talk about how everybody, ourselves, should attempt to daven maybe slightly better than we do already. Give a few ideas and have to stop. When it's 20 past, just simply tell me to stop. Right, so there's a story, very quick story. I don't know the names. It's a true story about a chosid who, this chosid was at a different place to his own home, and he was a different Rebbe, and he went to ask the Rebbe, can he daven by the Rebbe? No problem, daven by the Rebbe. He said, but I've heard about you that the way you daven is very quiet. Everybody davens quietly. So the Rebbe said, what's the problem? So he said, because where I go by my Rebbe, we all shout. We all shout and scream in our davening. That's what we do. So the Rebbe said, sorry, that's not the way to daven. You daven quietly. You think carefully what you're saying. You mean what you say. And that's what all you need to do. You don't shout. So you come along. But that's how we daven here. So anyway, so the chosid came along to davening, and during the time he was davening, he got so overwhelmed by something he was saying, he started screaming in the middle of davening. And he felt terrible conscience, and afterwards went back to the Rebbe and apologised. And the Rebbe said, what are you apologising for? He says, but you said that we daven quietly here, and I screamed in the middle of davening. The Rebbe said, what was wrong was that you planned on screaming. You told me you were going to do it. That's wrong. But to daven and daven quietly, and then in the middle of davening you feel so overwhelmed by something, that's perfectly okay. But don't plan to do it. The idea of how to try and daven properly. May I tell you quickly, how did I learn to read English? I learned to read English when I was a little baby. I'll tell you how it started. It started that my parents, they were talking as normal as parents do. They weren't trying to teach me, they weren't giving me lessons, they weren't giving me punishments, they weren't giving me homework, they were just talking normally. And they mentioned my name, and they mentioned everything going on, and whatever was said with Shabbos, and go to bed now, and turn the light off, and do the curtains, it's breakfast time. And that is how I learnt English. I learnt English as a tiny baby without realising I was learning anything. I didn't know how to read it. But that's what I heard. I heard the words and my brain took it in. We're all the same. Whatever your natural language that you spoke at home, that is how you learnt it. It wasn't teachers teaching you. You learnt it by hearing it. And then when you got a little bit older, one or two, your brain started pushing your mouth to copy the sounds you were hearing. Again, it wasn't a lesson, but you were hearing sounds and your brain, I want to do the same. Somehow, it wasn't a conscious thought. Just try and do the same as other people are doing. That's how we... And then, a bit more and more, and more words. With more and more words, how did we learn? We got the words, what the words mean, how the words are used. We got corrected if we used the wrong words. And slowly, 2, 3, 4, 5, I built up a vocabulary of words that I knew how to use in context. I'd heard the words in whatever dialect my parents spoke, whatever language they spoke. That's how I learnt English. And then I went to school, and in school they taught me about the letters, what these letters mean. And I had to learn that, hey, wait a minute, these funny sounds that I say, you can actually look at letters there. Well, the letters don't say anything, but realise that a T goes T, and I know what T is, and that's how we all learnt to read. But we all knew the language first, and then we learnt to read the language and understand the language from books. Now, nobody, I don't think anybody here comes from a family where the language spoken at home was Lashon HaKodesh. I didn't say Lashon HaKodesh, I said Lashon HaKodesh. We don't come. Some people might come from a family where Ivrit was spoken. Ivrit is very close, but it's not the same thing. You didn't hear Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language that HaKodesh Baruch Hu made up, with whatever dialect HaKodesh Baruch Hu used at Har Sinai, I don't know, and I'm not taking sides on this. The point is, we didn't hear that. So therefore, when we went to school, or cheder, and we started learning to read Hebrew, we were not trying to read a language that we already knew. We were taking the letters on paper, that base and the comments of Burton and Og goes bo, and we learnt that. But at the end of it, what did we know? We knew how to put letters and vowels together. That was it. We didn't know what the words meant. We had to learn that later. And we didn't even know how to stress the word correctly because we hadn't heard the word stress. And you want to know what stress means? Every single word with more than two, with more than one syllable. A syllable contains a vowel sound. A vowel sound either on its own, a, it, that vowel sound, with a letter in, bit, that's a syllable. One vowel sound and any number of letters connected to the vowel sound is a syllable. When you put two syllables into a word, one is stressed more than the others. So that's why we live here in Manchester. I'm not making jokes. I come from London. People in Liverpool, so in Liverpool, that's how they say it. Every word, if it's got two syllables or more, it gets stressed. And we did not learn that with Hebrew because none of us heard Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, being said as a living spoken language at home. So, unless our Rebbes taught it to us, we would never know this. And yet, to say the Hebrew language, like any language, you need to know how to stress it, otherwise it's stupid. You're not saying it properly. That's how we were. What happened then? Once we learned how to read, we went to shul and our fathers gave us a siddur and showed us the place and we had to try and keep up with all the adults around. Now, I'm going to take you back to when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy, I was very upset. My mother, Olei HaSholem, made me wear short trousers. I wanted to wear big trousers like the adults, like the grown-ups. I wanted to be a grown-up. And grown-ups wore big trousers, long trousers, and I had to wear shorts. And when I came to secondary school, I was so happy because we all wore long trousers. I was an adult. Now, boys go to shul and they see everybody else. What are everybody else doing in shul? That's what they hear. They don't hear people around them going, Baruch Atah. That's how they did it in school. But the adults in here do not go, Baruch Atah. They go, Baruch. So how do you know, how do you become an adult when you're 7, 8, 9 years old and you want to be an adult like them? I'll tell you what you can do. You can try and follow and you find they're going far too fast for you. You can't keep up with them, obviously, because they can read far better than you can and you can't do that yet. But when you get to a stage that you can follow and you can turn the pages at the same rate that the adults can turn the pages, you have finally grown up. You are now an adult in shul because you can turn pages at the same speed that they can turn pages. And now you've grown up, you're 7, you're 8, you're 9, you're 10 years old. You will stay the same till 120. You've now succeeded. One of my sons, Leon Eisenkolel now, and he says when he was a boy and he first got to shul, he says he couldn't quite understand who was the winner, the one who davened fastest or the one who davened slowest. Obviously somebody's got to be the winner somehow, but he didn't know which one had actually won the race. That's the point with us. That is how we are davening. And some people keep going that way. You go to yeshiva, Bleanra, yeshivas tend to slow down. But as you come out of yeshiva, you go back to shul, go to any shul in the morning. I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying what happens. We're all in a hurry to get to work, to get to wherever we're going to. And that's how davening is done. It's done at the... Somewhere like 3 years ago, after I came out of hospital, it suddenly occurred to me that I'm not going to continue davening the way davening is generally done. I'm going to daven at my rate and say the words. That's how I'm going to daven. I do not daven fast. I do not daven slow. I just say the words. The way I say the words at home when I'm on my own, when I say a brocha, asher yotzar es ha'odom b'chochmo vorovo. Is that fast? Is that slow? It's not fast. It's not slow. I'd say that the way one should daven is in the way you would have a serious conversation with your friend. If you tried speaking English at the rate you speak Hebrew at the Omud and while you're davening, you'd either be laughed at or people would just simply walk away and discuss. This isn't a conversation. I mean, that's the way we tend to daven. We tend to go as fast as we can because we're in a hurry. That's the way it is. So, what can I tell you about davening? These are the principles that go behind, the psychology behind it. I want to tell you a few ideas about stressing, about pronunciation. First thing is what I'm not going to tell you. There are different opinions as to how letters are to be pronounced. Follow whatever Kabbalah you've been brought up with. I cannot tell you which Kabbalah is better than another. The Rabbeinu Shalom, for his own reasons, did not have the Aseres HaDibros on Har Sinai taped. It would have made such a difference, but Hashem didn't want to do it. Can you imagine? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say those words? How did he pronounce the vowels? What did he say? I don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, but the words came out. We all heard the words. Klal Yisrael heard the words. But how did he pronounce the vowels? So I'm not here to tell you how a vowel should be pronounced. I can talk about it. It's my own personal views, and I'm not here to go around giving my personal views. That is the way you have been taught to daven. The way you've been davening is the right way for you to daven. I'm not going to say anything else. But certain things there are different opinions about, and there's certain things that there aren't different opinions. There's just the correct thing and people who don't know it. There's no machlokas on it. So the first thing I would like to say is about stressing words. As we said, in English, it goes without saying, whatever language you stress, one part of the word gets stressed. Manchester, London. You say anything, everybody, my name is Jeremy Stanton. Right, there are five syllables, Jeremy, the first one is stressed. In English, in most European languages, we stress the bit at the beginning of the word. In Lashon HaKodesh, we tend to stress the bit at the end. So if I'm going to give you in 5 seconds a rule, which is a correct rule for the rest of your life, it is always stress the last syllable in a word. Always stress that. You will be right 85% of the time. If you continue to stress the first syllable like you do generally, let's think of all the names. Let me tell you some names. Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Don, Naphtali, God, Osher, Yosef, Binyamin. There are only two of them that you do naturally correctly, and that's Don and God. There's only one syllable, and you can't get it wrong. But all the others, in English, we stress Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Come on, I know what we do. I talk the same as everybody else. But when I do Kriyas HaTorah, you'd find it wrong if you said Reuven. It's not Reuven, it's Reuven. Because when we come to laning, we tend to realize that the person laning has got to do it correctly. So that's the first thing. Stress every word at the end, and you will be right 85% of the time. Why do I say 85%? Because if you go through the Shema, which is the most important thing we say in our lives, is the Shema, there are 245 words, and of those 245, 209 are stressed at the end. That's leaving 36. So if you take on one rule and stress every word at the end of the word, you'll be right 85% of the time, which is better than being right hardly. So, that's the first thing. Second rule, you want to upgrade the first rule, use a siddur, and in the siddur it has, don't use the naginas, where the Shema, believe it or not, if you can lay in Shema with the naginas, it's wonderful, but if you don't know how to use the naginas properly, you're going to go astray by using them wrongly. So if you go through any good siddur, an art scroll certainly, you will find every so often there's a little line just after a vowel. Just after a vowel, a little line. The line is called a mesig. If you see where the mesig is, it's wherever you find one in the siddur, it is on the second last syllable of the word, and it's an exception to the rule I just gave. Every word is stressed at the end, except when there's a mesig. When there's a mesig, you stress where the mesig is, which is the second last syllable, not the last one. Now you get those two rules together, you'll always be correct. I said always, 100% of the time when you daven. Use a siddur which has a, you've got here Vayomer, Hashem, El Moshe, Hinani, Mamtir, Lochem. You take any pasuk, as long as it hasn't got the Naginas on, the Naginas will confuse you. Without the Naginas, just simply go through Shemana Esrei, Boruch, Ato, Hashem, Elokeinu, Velokei, Avoseinu. The stress, the little line there, just after the vowel, that's where you stress it. That's how to stress a word. Simple. And that upgrades your words. So you're saying the words to the Rabban Shalom correctly every single time. Next point. Next point is just about the Reish. There's no such thing as a silent resh in Hebrew. We are English. We are not German. We are not Scottish. If we were German or Scottish, I wouldn't need to say this. Because a Scotsman and a German who has an R at the end of the word pronounces R. A Scotsman, yeah, he puts on a slipper. He has butter on his bread. Butter. In Scottish, anybody who has, you get any Scotsman, you'll find that the R at the end of the word gets pronounced. In English, butter. Slipper. Yeah? 3, 4. 4, 5, 4. Where's the R gone? Because it's English. I'm not telling you how to pronounce English. The correct way to pronounce English is the way the English people pronounce it. That's the answer. There's no yashrus of this is the MS of English. There isn't one. Go to the English. The Geordies in the north, or go to the Mancunians. If you go to Liverpool, they'll all tell you their own English. They're perfectly correct. But Lashon HaKodesh, there are rules. The Rabbeinu Shlomo made the language. So therefore you're looking at the resh. Every resh is to be pronounced as a resh. There is no exception. I'm not telling you how to pronounce the resh. There are different opinions. But never leave it out. We don't have a silent resh. So if there's a resh at the end of the word, asher, not asher. It's not a hey. It's a resh. And a resh is always sounded. There is no exception. That's a rule. Next point. The mappic hey. We all know what a mappic hey is. It's a dot in a hey at the end of a word. But nobody seems to know what it means. It's actually very, 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 very simple. It's just that it doesn't exist in English. In English, if you have an H at the end of a word, it's never pronounced right? You have a her, you have the beginning of a word. Yes? Hat. Hit. Her the whole time. But at the end of a word, you don't pronounce it as an H. In Hebrew, if you've got a hey at the end of a word, the vast majority of the time it's silent. That's how we learn. That's correct. Put a dot in it, it's pronounced as a her. Muppic. People hear this word muppic, and they're, oh! They strain their necks, whatever they're doing with it. Do you know what the word muppic means? Muppic is Lashon Aram, is Aramaic. Do you know what the Hebrew word for muppic is? Motzi. Muppic is to take out, to bring out. Motzi brings out the hay. All it does is it pronounces the hay, which is normally silent. So let's say you have a word, lamed, with a comets under the lamed, and a muppic hay. Now, law, law. Very simple. Imagine the word was lohem. Lohem. And nobody's got a problem with the word lohem. Leave out the final mem. Lohe. Leave out the e. Loh. Muppic hay. All you're doing is bringing out the hay. You're not straining it. You're not doing anything else. Loh. Boh. See? My neck stayed the same place. Right? Any word. Osah. Simple. That's a muppic hay. So, it's almost time to daven. So let me finish off. One point I say is that if a person makes the effort with his own tefillah, take, if you've got the time, on your own, 5 minutes, every day that you have the time, 5 minutes, take a clearly printed, a translated siddur, and go through it for 5 minutes. Start with Shema, go through the Amidah, with the reading it on your own, and the translation on your own, till you understand every single word we say in the whole year, and I mean the whole year, and not only that, then try and go through the whole of Sefer Tehillim, because how many times do we say Tehillim? To understand what Tehillim means and how to pronounce the words correctly, 5 minutes, every evening when you have the time. And that way, I promise you, that you will be saying the Shon HaKodesh and davening with far more kavono than you would have by any amount of jumping around, shouting, screaming, and whatever people do in davening. The only thing I haven't spoken about is singing. Singing is wonderful. Singing certainly gives more kavono than simply saying the words. The Sephardim are better than the Ashkenazim. I once had the zechus. Hilton Suite. It was a chasna, a Sfadi chasna, and the people there didn't look frum. They didn't look frum, but in the middle of the chasna, in the evening, they went into the Beis HaMedrash there to daven Maariv. It was an evening, a weekday night Maariv. I've never been in such a Maariv. I was in yeshiva for years. I've never been in such a Maariv. These people were singing their way through Maariv. Singing their way through. It was a normal weekday evening. I know how Maariv goes. They weren't doing. They were just simply singing their way through the whole thing. Wonderful. One can put that in as well, as well. But the main thing, to say the words, think about what the words mean. That's
it. Very nice. Thanks. Very nice.